Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Faith Conversations podcast today. This is Jessica Cabrera. I'm your host, and I am really excited to be here with Paige Guyett. Can't wait for you to hear her story. And frankly, I do know a bit about Paige's story, but I am also aware that I don't know everything. And we have talked about doing this podcast for a while, and she is very graciously coming to share her story with us. And I'm really, really excited because I know that God has done a mighty work in her life. And she has testified to that in many different settings that I've been in. She's a teacher, she's a blogger, she's a writer, she puts out devotions, and I'll tell you more about that later. But very excited to have Paige here with us, and I can't wait for you to hear about her powerful story of walking in faith with Jesus. So Paige, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. Well, we need to know it all. I want to hear it all. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear about your journey. I know it's been powerful. I know it's been tattered, right? A tattered journey, I think, might be the way I would describe it. And so thank you so much for being willing to share. But let's start with kind of where it all began. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, then after you tell us about your background, a little bit about the background of your faith and how you came to Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I grew up in a non-Christian home, very loving, loving parents. But I was very insecure. I was very, I was just born very sensitive, very insecure. I think a lot of it was my mom was a very loving woman, but very, very confident in herself. Later, I came to find out that she was rather insecure herself, but she would never admit that.
Interesting.
But anyway, she was a very strong woman. And as I was insecure, I kind of put her on a pedestal, kind of looking for identity. I considered her words as gospel. I had a tendency to just try to emulate her in everything I said and did, as well as my brother, too. I seemed to think that they both had it all. They were athletic. They had a great sense of humor. They were smart. They were very confident in themselves. And I just wanted to be like them. And that continued for a while I was growing up. And then I started to emulate others, always seeking to be someone else, searching for identity. And then at the same time, though, I could see that God was at work also, in that I would lay in bed at night and just kind of think about, oh, I want to know why am I here and not somebody else? And I kind of wanted to know the reason behind everything, and why was I in this household? And I just wanted to know answers.
And did you know when you were kind of laying there thinking these things that you were thinking this towards God, or was it just more of an internal like introspection at the time?
I think it was kind of both.
Okay.
It was kind of both. We never really went to church, maybe Christmas, maybe Easter, but nothing.
You weren't oriented towards God necessarily.
No, right? Not at all. In fact, my cousin was the first born again believer in our family, and everybody kind of laughed at her. Because she was going to church all the time, wanted cookies and punch at her wedding and not alcohol, and everybody just kind of laughed at it. Mm. And I just wondered what this was all about. My mom had a tendency to be quite critical, because she was very controlling, and she would say things that I would get very hurt by. And you know, looking back now, I can see, you know, she just did the best she could. She didn't know the Lord. And she just wanted me to be a better person. performance was a big thing in my family.
Okay.
They wanted me to get the best grades and go to the best schools. And so that was a big thing. When I was about 12 years old, my mom made a comment about germs. And she said that, don't forget to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. And for some reason, at that particular time, that stuck with me so much to the effect that I just started washing my hands constantly. And so bad that they became red, chapped, and bleeding because I just washed them all the time. And my mother, at this point, this was like in the 70s, and my mom said, if you do not stop that, I'm going to take you to a psychologist. And I had never even heard of a psychologist. That was not a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And so basically, by making that comment, she scared me out of this compulsion. And I started doing other things like counting numbers and telling myself I couldn't get out of the car until I counted the odometer. And this, of course, later turned out, as I found out, was obsessive compulsive disorder, but I didn't know that at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'd make up all these superstitions in my head that I need to do this and that and for good luck. And at any rate, so I continued through school. And when I went to college, I thought, well, now I could start all over again. I always wanted to be popular. So I decided I was going to rush the most popular sorority. And God in his providence even then allowed me to see what that was like. Providentially allowed me to get in this sorority that I thought was the be-all and end-all. And they had a very bad reputation, but they were popular. So I wanted to be involved, and didn't last the whole 4 years in the sorority because I felt very uncomfortable. Because even though I was not a believer, I was like, I felt very uncomfortable with their reputation, and I did so much partying, and I would wake up, you know, hungover and feeling horrible and thinking, why did I do this? This is so dumb. And I had a really serious boyfriend, but it took me having to go through that and experience that to realize this was a vanity of vanities, a chasing after the wind. And, I was allowed to study abroad my junior year, half the year, and that just really opened my heart and my mind to things. I had a roommate, American roommate, who used to pray. And
at what country did you study?
I studied in Spain, okay. In Madrid, and I had a American roommate who used to pray. And I started getting homesick and worried. You know, what if something happens if I don't get home? And so I would start praying a little bit, but it really opened my eyes up to so much being over there and being on my own. And got back to college, and the first thing I did practically was desisterize my sorority because I thought, this is just not who I wanted to be. And the dean of the college at the time put me in charge of a real eclectic group of students that lived off campus. I was in a house with them, and I was the resident advisor. And that was a real growing experience because I was put in charge of basically a girl in my house was an alcoholic. I had a manic depressive in my house. I had three born-again Christians in my house who I believe were praying for me. As a kind of a side note, I forgot to mention that my roommate from freshman year did not get in the popular sorority. She got in the sorority that was mostly a faith-based sorority. And I come to find out now years later that she was praying for me. Mm. But anyway, you know, God uses so many different people in our lives. So anyway, when I graduated college, my parents wanted me out of the house. They wanted me to find a job and leave.
Right.
And so I did, and I got a job with Marriott Hotels in Columbia, South Carolina. I had never even heard of Columbia because I was from Connecticut. I grew up in Connecticut, the Northeast, where is pretty spiritually dead. So I went to Columbia, and At the time, though, I was very depressed because I was out of my safety bubble. I just remember really dealing with a lot of fear and insecurity. And my roommate, who was wonderful, always used to go home on the weekends, so I was basically alone. And I started having some illogical fears. It was more of the progression of my OCD. And my boss at the Marriott in Columbia invited me to his church because he realized that I was not doing well emotionally and spiritually. He could tell. So he invited me to his church, and it was almost as if my eyes were open for the first time because I heard the gospel for the first time and really embraced it.
That same day? Where you were very open to it right away?
I was open, although I fought it at first because all I could think of is what my parents, you know, had thought about my cousin and other born-again believers. And so part of me was like, oh, no, you know, what are they going to think? But I was so depressed. But when I went and heard the gospel, I couldn't get enough of it. And I wanted to go to seminary, and I wanted to quit Marriott.
Oh, wow.
I was so invested and so desirous of learning more. And I remember my my pastor saying, slow down, slow down. And my parents said, I want you to hang out and stick with Marriott for a while, which I hated. But I do remember also watching a Billy Graham crusade. And I got this book called Power for Living because I was so depressed. I needed something to help me to keep going on. And Power for Living is a book about different famous people that realize their utter need for a Savior and a Lord, and who just surrendered their lives to Jesus and were changed. And so I know that was at some point in the beginning of 1985 that I prayed to receive the Lord, and I thought, now all my fears and insecurities will be gone. Well, no, that didn't happen. And that was disappointing. But it drove me closer to the Lord. I mean, I can honestly say this many years later that I can see God definitely used my OCD and my fears and my anxieties just to draw me closer. And I'm so thankful for that. But it took many years because once I became a believer, I started developing the scrupulosity fear, where I would start fearing, you know, that I wasn't pleasing to God, that I'd lose my salvation. I mean, OCD attacks the things that you love. And so I was truly seeking to know God's will and to know him more. And so I'd read scriptures and my mind would be like, well, what if, you know? And so that was very, very scary, but God always provided. Other believing women who had struggled with the same thing or just knew Jesus. My future mother-in-law, who wasn't my mother-in-law at first, was a missionary, and I met her in Miami, and she had gone through a similar background in that she had become a believer later in life. So I was about 23 when I prayed to receive Jesus, and she didn't know anything about OCD, but she knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus, knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, reading his word was the be all and end all, the answer to whatever I was struggling with. And so she would just constantly point me to him and pray with me and show me scriptures. And so she was just the most wonderful mentor.
And as I hear you reflect on it, you clearly reflect on it fondly. I'm curious what it was like for you in the moment. I mean, when you're sitting there with this woman who you didn't know was going to become your mother-in-law, pointing you to Jesus and praying with you and reading scripture to you, what was it like? Can you take us back to one of those moments in time? What was your mindset or your mentality about it?
Well, she was a very outgoing, fun person to be with, and she had such a passion for the Lord. And So when
it, kinda, it seems like it kind of drew you in.
It really did draw me in. Yeah. It really did. Because she shared a lot of her own life. And she was, I was part of a retreat that she was in charge of. And, you know, she just, I had met her son first before I met her. And when he told me that they, you know, they were a missionary family, I was like, oh my goodness, I have to meet them. I was so excited.
Yeah. And you were curious, it seems. I mean, at this point, you were still very thirsty for someone to model this for you or tell you more about this faith that you, had really kind of reached this point in your life where you said, okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. And I trust that you are, I'm assuming, maybe a good God, and I want to give my life to you. Mm-hmm. And then from that point forward, it was just a quest to figure out, like, tell me more. I want to, you know.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. And I would share with her my struggling, my fears and the struggling thoughts I had. And she would just be like, you just need to claim scripture. You need to renew your mind. I mean, she would really try and drive home things that I needed to learn, you know, verses on the assurance of salvation. And but it wasn't just her. I mean, God provided other Christian sisters that just constantly pointed me to the Lord and prayed with me and just came alongside me. I lived with a bunch of Christian sisters when I was there in Florida, and we would just have a wonderful time with other believers, just praising the Lord and doing Bible studies. And so God always seemed to provide somebody who went through similar struggles as me, and that was very, very helpful. But I still continued to struggle with my OCD and my fears for quite a while. And it wasn't until we got here to Burke, that I started to learn. I guess I never really grasped the fact that I had a new identity. Mm. And because I struggled so much with identity, BCC offered a class in the 90s called Search for Significance, where it's like God opened, you know, peeled back my eyes and showed me these scriptures that were true about me now as a believer. And I never had really fathomed that before, that now I was chosen and deeply loved and completely forgiven and fully pleasing. I would just claim these verses that were given to us out of Ephesians and Colossians about who I was in Christ. And I would read over them and repeat them to myself. And it was just life transforming. So,
it sounds like this class that you did just answered the questions that had been pending for you, or maybe honestly, it was answers to questions, but I really think it was releasing you of strongholds that had a hold of you for a long time.
Definitely. Yeah.
And once your eyes were open to this truth about who God is, what God does for us, and what our identity is in him, that the truth of your identity in him just delivered you from darkness that was lingering after you had come to faith.
Right.
And I think that's really important for all of us to understand. And you know, I'm really big on authenticity when it comes to sharing our stories, that it's not the public version of the story, right? I mean, we need to talk about the hard parts. So I really appreciate your authenticity in talking about the fact that I came to the Lord and I continued to struggle with all of these things. And it is a process. I mean, the things that I was released of, and when I say released, I mean that I had been battling out a struggle for many, many years and wasn't really released of that stronghold until 25 years into my faith, you know, or I think that's an important part for the community of believers to understand, but also for those who aren't yet in the faith to understand it's not this overnight,
exactly.
Oh, now I know exactly what life is all about. No, I know whose I am.
Exactly.
And I know I have confidence that I've been spiritually, I almost want to use the word right now, captured, which I don't use that word very often, but I think it's true, by God, right? Like he has me in the palm of his hand now, but I'm still working through things and it can take a long time to get to that point.
Yep.
But God is not expecting you to be perfect. He wants you to be surrendered, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so therefore I appreciate you sharing that you had this journey over time, but that, there was this new phase of your faith journey now that you're sharing about where you were really released, into this new identity in Christ. And that seems like it was transformative for you.
It really was. And not to say that I'm all there yet at
right,
all.
Right, yeah. None of us are, right?
Exactly. But I, you know, I can see where God was definitely has been at work. He continues to be at work in those areas. And I really feel like the body of Christ has been just so pivotal in helping me to grow.
Right.
Hearing others' experiences.
And by the way, when we say body of Christ, we're talking about like a community of believers in Christ who are all part of one body of people who make up different parts and different functions of that body.
Right.
And I just clarify that for anyone listening that might not understand the terminology body of Christ. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I heard over and over again, you talk about all of these different people, even before you really came before the Lord to surrender your own life, where there were people in your life that were praying for you, that cared for you in a spiritual way, your boss that invited you. I'm a boss. That just that statement alone encouraged me to remind me as a boss, I can invite people to church. You know, it's their choice. So.
But I think so many people today just really, I know they struggle with identity. And so much of my writing is about, you know, more of the details of what that, you know, that what that entailed and the names that I was called and the things that are just so common today that kids deal with, you know. And it just, my heart goes out to these kids, you know, that are bullied and
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked a lot about God's character because, and, but a lot of it was in light of what it taught you and how it kind of redeemed you and, redefined who you were in him. I'm just curious after these many years and also just growing in your passion and conviction to share with others about your journey and help encourage them on their journey. What have you learned about God? What stands out to you about God's character after all this time?
Well, he's bigger than we think he is. He's been a refuge to me. He's been a fortress. But most profoundly, I think just getting to know his heart and that he draws close to sinners and sufferers. And he loves us more than we can ask or imagine. I just finished a study on teaching gentle and lowly. And that is just such a beautiful picture of his heart and how he does not, you know, he draws so close to us, even when we fail. And he just wants us to come to him. And he just so desires that fellowship, that relationship. And he promises in his word that he will never let us go. And it's just such, I was just so blessed relearning, because I had read it before, but relearning how much that his compassion and his mercy is so rich that we, our human minds can't really fathom it, but that's how rich a God he is. And so that's what I would say, because I was just blown away again by these truths in this book, because he uses so many scriptures and he talks, the author is Dane Ortlund, and he talks about how in Matthew 11, where Jesus calls himself gentle and lowly, and he uses those words to describe the fact that he just so willingly draws close to the sinner and the sufferer. And that's just given me such peace. Gosh, such peace.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, it really is.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I'm curious. I mean, obviously we've talked a lot about experience with God, and we have a couple of minutes left. I'm curious, just if there's any other experience you want to share or words of wisdom that you want to share. What are the other things that you might like to share today, just while we think through your faith journey and the experiences that you've had with God along the way?
I think I would like people to know that no matter how hard it may seem, no matter what you're going through, that God is faithful, that just to cry out to him. There were days in my early days when I would have such mental anguish over these OCD thoughts and my fearfulness that I would just cry out to God and ask him to just cling to me and give me that a word or peace. And he was always faithful to give me something, whether it be a word or a song, another believer. And so my advice is never to give up, because he is faithful and he will get you through. Just to be patient and trust him and just let your feelings be known.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that everyone listening here can tell, but Paige has a deep conviction of God's personal and personal relationship with us, and it's not from an academic space. You know, she's not being kind of in her head about this. She's very deep in her life with this. This has been her own journey of trudging through her own hardships and struggles and her own self, you know, looking at herself and her own identity, and then finding out who she is in light of who God says she is, and then learning how to claim that identity in the midst of, you know, just because you claim an identity doesn't mean you feel like you're worthy of it, right? She and I were just talking about that before the podcast. Actually, I think it was in a prayer together, but just that it's so humbling that a holy and mighty and powerful God would draw near, that even those words from Matthew 11 would be used to describe him.
Exactly.
Is absolutely remarkable, which goes back to the very first thing that you shared, which is he's much bigger than we think he is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you tie that thought to the idea of him being so much bigger and more complex than we would normally attribute to him?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I really, if you guys like what you're hearing about her story and her heart for reaching people, particularly those that are struggling with identity, those that are feeling a bit lost and trying to find themselves and find their relationship with Christ, I would encourage you to visit some of her platforms where she's putting out devotions and where she's writing. So you can visit her blog at gloriousobsessionblog.wordpress.com. She's also on Facebook and Instagram, where she'll post devotions that you could follow along and get really helpful devotions and thoughts. So if you go to Facebook, just look up Glorious Obsession. And if you go to Instagram, it's Glorious Obsession 7. And you can find her there encouraging those who need encouragement, and she's a trusted sister, someone that you can lean on. Even if you're far away, you can still lean on what she's putting out and what she's sharing from her heart in order to encourage others on their journey of faith. So I encourage you to check those things out. Paige, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It's been a joy. I really enjoyed hearing kind of the start to finish version of, you know, the years that you went through. Mm-hmm. I've known about your OCD journey, and I've known that God has really delivered you in many regards of you being able to find your identity in Him. But I haven't known exactly how all that played out. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sharing that here with us today.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow, and you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.